We have the assurance to know that we're safe in your hands, that we have committed our life to Jesus and you have come into us, Lord. You indwell us, the Holy Spirit does. We are in you, and you've promised us that no one can take us out of your hand. We thank you for that. And so we have the assurance that gives us peace in the midst of trouble and difficulty and turmoil, a blessed assurance. We know in whom we've believed, and we are confident that you're able to keep what we committed to you against that day. Bless our study tonight. Bless our time in the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me again welcome you here. Let me just, one announcement I'd like to make, and that is, as you know, we have a youth retreat coming up, and we have a problem. It's a good problem, but we have about 50 students going on the retreat and 15 adults, so it's about 65 people. And so the problem with that is our van holds 15 people. So we are going to charter a bus, and so it's going to cost us about an additional $2,400. And I'm just saying that because if you would like to help offset the costs or give towards the kids going regarding that, again, it's a $2,400 expense that we didn't expect, and instead of having 15 cars going up there, we just have a big bus. Actually, we're taking the bus and the van because the bus holds 54 people, and we've got 65. So we'll take the charter bus. They'll pick the kids up and the adult leaders up, and then they'll go up there, drop them off, come back. And then on Sunday, they'll go pick them up. So it's really a blessing for the kids to be able to ride in that environment and not worry about all the details of that. But it creates a little bit of a budget buster is what you'd say. But God provides, I mean. But I thought I'd let you know the need. If you'd like to help offset the cost, let us know. I'll announce it Sunday, too. And the shirt is one of the youth shirts that they're going to take on the trip. So it's a fine wisdom. In other words, we talked about this the last couple of Sundays. Haven't expressed it like that. We've been expressing about how dumb sin is, but it's the same thing. Okay. Let me bring you up to speed on our study. We looked at last week, the part two. I didn't quite finish that, so we're going to finish it tonight, the Lord willing. We may go into part three, but I doubt it. Let me just give you an update of where we were looking at. We looked at the whole idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We looked at the fact that he comes upon the believer. He's with unbelievers. He's the one who draws and convicts. At the point of time when you or I believe in Jesus, he enters into us. We're sealed. He indwells us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so by that coming in is when we are born again, we're going to heaven. But then he comes upon us. Jesus said in the first chapter of Acts' gospel, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. That coming upon is not a permanent thing. It is separate from conversion. So it's not the same thing as conversion. In my life, it happened about 3 or 4 months after I was saved. So a lot of believers, they get saved, they don't even know about this, they've not taught about this or whatever, but we believe it's extremely important that all of us are baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm reminded of a time in the Old Testament when God had set apart some elders to help Moses lead. And there was a time that Moses had called those elders, and all the elders came except two individuals, I believe it was two. And what happened was that the people that gathered with Moses, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and I believe they prophesied, and then Joshua came to Moses and said, there's two guys that didn't come, you know, they're out in the camp prophesying. And Moses said, I wish that the Holy Spirit was in every person. Well, God's promised us this gift. We have this promise that God would give us this anointing, this empowering. It is for ministry. When Jesus began his ministry, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Remember that? Like a dove, it sat upon him and remained on him. It's also a coming and going. And what I mean by that is the Holy Spirit coming into us is permanent. He never leaves us. He will never leave us or forsake us. But the anointing of the Spirit, we looked at that in a number of verses. There's times he anoints us and times he doesn't. So there's times he just comes. Sometimes it's unexpected. We looked at a couple examples of Peter before the Sanhedrin. All of a sudden the Spirit of God came upon him. He was filled and he began to speak to them very boldly. And then the other time was when Paul was speaking to Sergius Paulus. He was the deputy of Archaea, and there was a guy involved in witchcraft, a sorcerer. His name was Elymas, and he was resisting Paul, trying to turn away the deputy from the faith. And the Bible says Paul filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God just came upon Paul at that time. So the idea of filling with the Spirit, coming upon us, those terminologies are used interchangeably, but it's the same idea. The Holy Spirit comes upon us, and then he comes and goes in that respect. So even though he never leaves us, yet this coming upon is sometimes, you know, it just happens. Or sometimes we ask him to. I know every week, every time I teach, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Come upon me, anoint me, help me. And so that's the coming going. And then, of course, we looked at the first evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit last week, and that was boldness. A couple of examples of that in the scriptures. I'm reminded of the time when they were threatened because they were preaching Jesus, and the Bible says they gathered for prayer, and the Holy Spirit filled them. It shook the house. They were filled with the Spirit and spoke the Word of God with boldness. And also the example of Peter. When he was filled with the Spirit, he confronted the Sanhedrin, which was a body of Jewish elders that Peter was taught to revere. And here he is rebuking them. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and had this holy boldness. So it's not normal boldness. It's not just a boldness that comes. It is supernatural in the face, in the examples in the Bible, in the face of death or persecution or very much threatening. And all of a sudden, and we need that. It's beyond us. It's supernatural. It's a coming upon us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And then tonight we're going to look at where we picked off, and that is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In the second chapter of Acts, verse 4, I have a lot of these verses up on the screen, that he does have gifts. And we're going to look at this more in detail, the Lord willing, next Wednesday night. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here's one of the gifts, one of the nine power gifts of the Spirit, this gift of tongues. And that was a sign that they were filled with the Spirit. Then in Acts 10, verses 45 and 46, another example of the gifts being used when the Holy Spirit came. It says, and this is when Peter was called to Cornelius' house. He spoke to them about Jesus, presented the gospel. They committed their lives to Christ and were filled sort of unusually at the same time, which is very unusual. But in Acts chapter 10, verses 45 and 46, it says, they of the circumcision which believe were astonished. That means that when it says they of the circumcision, means the Jews that were with Peter. They came with Peter to watch this because he went into a Gentile's house, which was unlawful. Gentile was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So here they spoke with other tongues as the Holy Spirit came and anointed them. So when you look at the ninth chapter or the 12th chapter rather of 1 Corinthians, we'll look at that in detail later. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I call them power gifts, are available. And I want to point out that these gifts are, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Holy Spirit gives the gifts to every man severally as he wills, which means the Holy Spirit gives the gifts, sometimes multiple gifts to any person, every person that he needs to be used in those gifts. Simply meaning that the key is the baptism of the Spirit. Once you're baptized in the Spirit, all the gifts are available if the Lord would want to use you in those areas. I mentioned in my personal life, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I had my roommate at college lay hands on me. The Holy Spirit came upon me, and I began to speak with tongues. Let me just share a little bit of my testimony very quickly. This was about three, four, five months after I got saved. As I studied that, I saw the 8th chapter of Acts where there was a difference, a clear difference between being saved and being baptized or known with the Holy Spirit. It was very distinct in that 8th chapter. Also the 19th chapter, if you're interested in looking it up. But when I realized that, I asked my roommate to lay hands on me. About half the times in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, they laid hands. Half the times they did. Cornelius' example, you don't have to have someone lay hands on you. It's just a point of faith. It's a point of contact. It's like having people pray for you and laying hands on you. The Lord can heal you without any of that. But oftentimes that helps our faith. It strengthens us. It's symbolic of the Lord touching us. When you lay hands on somebody, anoint them with oil, the oil is a representative of the Holy Spirit. So my roommate laid hands on me. He didn't anoint me with oil, but laid hands on me. And the Holy Spirit came and came on my life, and I began to speak with other tongues. Well, I was a new believer. I was only saved for a few months, and I thought that was just normal. I thought, praise the Lord. So we had a Thursday night Bible study, and so I got filled with the Spirit on a weekend, and so that next Thursday when we had our Bible study with the college kids, there's a bunch of college kids getting together, I just shared my testimony. I said, "Wow, let me tell you what happened last week." And they were saved, they were water baptized, and then they were filled or anointed with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hand the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. He wanted to buy this gift, and Peter rebuked him for that. But he obviously saw something happen, and more than likely saw, either them speaking in tongues or prophesying. That was, two of the main things that happened once they were filled with the Spirit. And so I shared that. And so I could tell by the reaction of the group that some people were very interested. Wow. And others are like, oh boy, And I couldn't understand it because I thought I'm a baby Christian. I'm just, studying the Bible and doing what God's Word says. And the Holy Spirit came and I spoke in tongues, Well, I went home that night to my dorm room, and I was on the bottom floor of my dorm, and my bed, we had a shared room with another guy, another believer, and my bed was next to the window. And so around 11 o'clock at night, I was actually in bed, and I, maybe closer to 12, I hear this knock at the window. So, I roll over and I open up the blinds, and one of the guys in the Bible study was there, and he said to me, "Look, I heard your testimony of what happened. Would you pray with me?" I said, "Sure." So I got up, got dressed. There was a music dorm, so if you were in the music, whatever, you could go to this dorm, and they had all kind of instruments. But they had all these rooms, little tiny rooms with a piano in them. And so we said, I thought, that's a great place to go pray. Actually, we use those rooms a lot. So we went over to the room, and I was so pumped. I was so excited. Well, the next night, around 11 or 12 at night, there's a knock. And I open my blinds again the same time, and, I'm in bed again, and he's there again with another guy. I told so-and-so what, would you pray with him? I said, sure. So I get up, get dressed again, head over to the anointed room, pray with him, and the Holy Spirit came. I mean, he just came on. And this went on for a number of weeks, actually. It was about 3 weeks. Not every night, but they kept coming, and for some, if it's the Holy Spirit that does it. Matter of fact, John the Baptist clearly told his disciples, "I baptize you with water. Coming after me, the latter to loose, he will baptize you." So the Lord Jesus baptizes with the Spirit, but he people. But the Lord does that. And on. So what happened was, it got to the point, I was losing a lot of sleep. I said, I've got to figure out some way to fix this. Thursday night at our Bible study, and stuff going on. People were coming. They wanted to know what was going on. So I told the group, I said, look, tomorrow night, Friday night, off campus, the girls in our group, and if you want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, some of you all have been coming and, during the last 2 or 3 weeks and asked me to pray, and I said, we're all going to meet, and I'd baptize the Spirit. Well, I was about 5 minutes late. When I drove up the parking lot, I was a baby Christian. I don't know what I'm doing. I walk in there, there's a little tiny don't know how many kids were there, and they were all over the floor. They were sitting on the steps. There was a balcony. They were all on the balcony, walking and saying, "Lord, what do I do? I don't know what to do." So I just told everybody, let's bow our head and prayed, and we were praying about 5 or 10 minutes. About 5 minutes, just came. All of a sudden, you could tell the Holy Spirit came, and I heard a person prophesying over here. I heard a tongue over here. I heard a prophet. 16 people. Just the Lord just through. Me and my. And the confront me, I had a guy with cancer, with the gifts of the Spirit, no longer in operation. It's interesting. And so what happened was we were having a prayer meeting most of the nights of the week. There was a little Catholic office open. They had a little altar on the altar and, you know, bowing down and praying and all that. We were together about it almost every night. So, of us, we were praying for the kids, praying for the Spirit to work, praying for people to be saved. And we came, and he thought all this stuff was mumbo jumbo. He said the gifts are no longer available. Years ago, and so came in. He was sick. He had a very
sort of like that.
You know, we had all, and when we're praying, just will, because we were practicing what the Bible says. If he's sick among you, let him call. And the Lord just said, pray for everybody and people that were back on my head. And I look at a student who has been healed. And of course, after that, it was sort of chaotic. So many people coming. There were some believers, God getting saved. It was just a move of God saying, as in my life and all this. And then when that anointing of the Holy Spirit came upon me personally, the ministry just had enough people for counseling, just because the Holy Spirit anointed. He does me. It's about Him. It's what He wants. The purpose. And so the Holy Spirit was moving on campus, and there were these manifestations of prophecy. Some gifts are available. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the manifestation of the Spirit is to profit everybody. Told regarding the power of every person that's filled with the Spirit, everybody owns their gift. But nevertheless, when we give, say in my life, they're first used. Just because the Holy Spirit moves, as there's a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or tongues. I pray in tongues all the time. I pray in tongues almost every day. You know, an unknown tongue edifies himself. Well, I need as much edification as I can get. The Bible says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men but to God. So tongues are directed to God. So oftentimes I don't know how to pray. The Bible says that in the 8th chapter of Romans. We don't know how to pray for ourselves as we should. There's times that I've been burdened for somebody for whatever reason and don't know what the problem is or what the need is. And so I'll just get alone by myself and pray in tongues. And as I'm praying, what happens almost every time, all of a sudden the burden that I felt is just sort of leaves. And I believe the Holy Spirit's interceding and praying. He's talking to the Lord about whatever the need is. I don't know what's being said. I have prayed for interpretation, and I've interpreted many times, sometimes my own and sometimes someone else's. But my point is, it's not that important that I know what I'm saying. What's important is that the Holy Spirit's interceding, that I'm a vessel that God's using to do this and help someone else's life. So I'm just saying to you that the gifts are available when the Holy Spirit comes. As we have in the Bible, is when Abraham sent his servant Eliezer to get a bride. Remember that? For his son, Isaac. And that is an example. I think I shared this a month or so ago. It's an example of the Father sending the Holy Spirit into the world to get a bride for his son. That bride's the church. The Holy Spirit comes into the world. And remember, Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, had camels filled with stuff. Remember that? He was very wealthy, and when he came to Rekha, he had a lot of camels with a lot of material possessions. Well, Laban was Rebekah's brother, and he was into the stuff. He was into the material possessions. He was into the gifts. And it represents for the purpose of building up the church, not for personal. And that's where a lot of people have gotten off. But one of the signs of being baptized in the Spirit, of being filled with the Spirit, are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I tell people sometimes when you pray, when you ask the Lord to fill you, just wait on the Lord. I know in my life I just waited. And as I waited on the Lord, as my roommate prayed for me, I just felt a desire to say something. Well, I didn't know what to say. And I felt like there was a sentence in my mind. I remember praying for Donna when I prayed for her to be, because she was part of our college group. And I remember praying for her. And I remember, you know, she had a sentence. It was a tongue. It was a sentence. And I said, you've got to step out. You've got to just trust the Lord. You don't let your mind get in your way. Don't try to figure it out. These are gifts of the Spirit. They're supernatural. We'll get into the gifts later on about just the individual gifts next week and just to talk about those gifts. But my point is, this is an important gift. It is this anointing that God gives us. So there's this, the gifts are available to everybody, anybody that's baptized in the Holy Spirit. But it is a distinct, separate anointing. I want to say to you tonight what Paul said to that group in the 19th chapter of Acts. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? I know he came into you. I'm not talking about coming in. I'm talking about the anointing, the empowering. This is important. Because Jesus said, you shall receive power. That's what my next point I want to make. And that is, the gifts of the Spirit, sorry. I've already done that one. But also power to witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, here's what he says. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon. Notice the word upon. Remember, with, in, and upon. Epi. He comes upon us. He comes down upon us and fills us. That's the same word, terminology. Fill, baptize, coming upon. But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Remember that Jesus, when he was going up to heaven, his disciples asked him, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own hands, but you'll receive power. So in other words, wait. Just wait until this promise comes. Wait. Why wait? Because we need this power. We want to be effective witnesses. We want to have, in other words, we can go out here and tell people. We can tell people anything. We can tell people about Jesus. But witnessing, in my opinion, is different. Witnessing is the Holy Spirit moving through us. Witnessing is a supernatural. I want to be a witness so that what I do, what I say, how I say it, affects people's lives. The Holy Spirit needs to anoint us to the point when I speak, people listen or people are moved or people. I was giving the example last week of that time I was out on the streets and talking to a guy and the Holy Spirit was moving and I could tell by his face he was locked into me. And this guy came out of the side, remember that? And he was drunk and I rebuked him because I felt like it was demonic. There was this interference. And so my point was he wants us to be a witness. So here's my point. I want to be an effective witness. And I can't do this. We can't do this apart from the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work. As we've talked about in our study, the first study we did, the Holy Spirit's the executive of the Trinity, which means he does the work. He's present tonight when we meet. He's the one that convicts the sinner, draws the sinner, seals the believer. He's the one that anoints with power. When we have communion, Jesus said, I'm in your midst. When you break bread together, two or more gathered in my midst, I'm there. It's the Holy Spirit that is the one doing the work on the earth. And so we need that power. We need that anointing. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to anoint him the moment he started his public ministry, how much more do we? I want to be a witness. I want to be, and that's what I'm saying again. When the Holy Spirit anointed me, then ministry just happened. Because this Holy Spirit anoints us in order to be a witness, in order to be a minister, in order to be effective, in order to be used, in order to have that supernatural power that we desperately need. And we all need to come to a place where we realize that we can't save anybody, we can't help anybody, we can't. We have to have the Holy Spirit. And so I believe, and you just don't get it and then we're done. We have a desperate need for the Holy Spirit all the time. We need to always be praying, Lord, fill me. We looked at that verse in the fifth chapter, verse 18 of Ephesians, where it says, do not be drunk with wine when it is excess. The Greek sentence says, but being filled with the Spirit, be filled. Meaning being continually filled. Being continually filled. We don't need to live on last week's manna. We need fresh manna every day. We need a fresh anointing every time we speak. We need a fresh, every day we get up, Lord, fill me so that I can be a witness today. I don't know what's going to happen. And let me say this. Most of the gifts of the Spirit, most of the time they were used, were not in the church. Most of the time the gifts were used was out in the community. Just going around doing your thing, and all of a sudden the Lord gives you a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a prophecy or whatever it may be. I know in my life, I was just sharing an example of a couple weeks ago. I was out in the lobby, and I felt like God gave me a word of wisdom. I turned to my wife and said, I think God just gave me a word of wisdom. I was sharing with somebody, and I said, I think this is the root problem. You know. But my point in all that is that's how the Lord works, and that's how the Scripture teaches us. So the book of Acts, we believe that the book of Acts is our model for ministry. It's our model for the church. Some people look at church history. Like this period of time in church history is our model for the church. We don't. Our model for the church is the book of Acts. And Jesus told his disciples, wait for the promise. Wait until the Holy Spirit anoints you. Why? Because this is when the power comes. This is when the anointing comes. And of course, once the Holy Spirit came in the second chapter, all of a sudden ministry exploded. The church began to, the Lord just blessed them. Now, a lot of it is dependent on what the Holy Spirit wants to do. There's times, seasons when he moves. There's seasons he doesn't move. There's those things you can't control. We can pray and ask him. It's not a formula. The Lord does what he wants. And so we've seen, if you've been around a long time as a believer, we've seen seasons and times the Lord just moves. And all of a sudden, there's times that he doesn't move as much. I wish there was some formula. We could say, all right, let's do 1, 2, 3, 4, and God's going to move. It's not that way. It's up to the Lord. We need to always be praying. But I'm saying that you need this. You need this baptism of the Holy Spirit, this anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then also, let me give this other word, this other verse rather, in Acts, the 4th chapter, verse 31. And this is once they were threatened, this idea of power to witness. Look what it says. When they had prayed, that was when, remember, Peter and John were threatened. They went back and had a prayer meeting. And they prayed, Lord, look at how these people are threatening us. Grant that signs and wonders will be done in the name of your holy son, Jesus. And then all of a sudden, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. What was the result of that? They spoke the word of God with boldness. All of a sudden, the word of God started coming out. The word of God began to be preached. And they began to, with boldness, there was a holy boldness. They were just confronting people and speaking to people. And this is a supernatural. The idea of boldness is not a normal boldness. It is a boldness in the face of, I think, what's happening in our country. I think about what's happening with Al-Qaeda over there. You know, the missionaries there, the people that are still there, we need to pray for them. We'll pray before the end of the service tonight for those individuals. I wanted to play early, I forgot. And remind me of that, please. But we just need to pray. We need the Holy Spirit to come and fill people. So whatever happens, there's just a calm, you know, a calmness that comes, the Holy Spirit giving them, removing, as the Bible says, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And when the Holy Ghost comes, all of a sudden, he just takes over. I'll never forget, you know, walking out, going downtown, witnessing two times. One time standing outside, there was two bars there. They were gay bars. And I'd been there a short period of time. I was there actually about a two-year period, but I went there every Friday night for about 2 years. But when I first started, within about a month or two, standing outside talking to people about Jesus, one night a group of guys came out of the bar with the 2x4. And they said, we're going to give you 5 minutes to get off the street, and then we're going to kill you. And the Holy Spirit just came. I mean, I was like, okay, this is it, you know. No fear whatsoever. I just started praying. witnessing, you know. And I said, I'm not leaving. God called me here, and you're not going to run me off. And so at the end of that five-minute period, you know, they looked at each other and went inside, you know. There was another time I was on the streets, and I was witnessing, and this guy pulled a knife on me. You know, because you're running a lot of demonic activity on the streets. And this guy pulled a knife on me, and I said, in the name of Jesus, put that knife up. He put it back in his pocket. And then he pulled it out again. I said, in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit just came. The Holy Spirit just came and filled me. And I, in the name of Jesus, he put it back again. He pulled it out the third time. I said, in the name of Jesus, put that knife back and get out of here. He put it back and ran away. It was just the Holy Spirit. And I'm just saying, that's that boldness. That's that anointing. That's that power to witness. Another incident, let me share this right here, that comes to my mind, and I'm trusting as they come to my mind, I'll share it, but I was standing there, and most of the people down where I was at were black, and I'm a white guy down there, and all of a sudden, a group of about 20 to 30 black guys and this one guy started yelling at me, screaming at me because I'm white. He said, you're a white guy, you know, and it's like, you know, and what happened was he's yelling at me, and this crowd's gathering, and I'm like a little nervous. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came. I mean, just came and filled me. And I looked at him, and I pointed my finger, and I said, you know what your problem is? I said, you're prejudiced. I said, I'm down here because the Holy Spirit sent me down here to preach the Word of God to you guys. It has nothing to do with me being white and you being black. It has nothing to do with that. And I told him, you need Jesus to change your life. You need Jesus to set you free. And all of a sudden, I hear this guy say, hey, listen to the preacher. Listen to the preacher, you know. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just came and diffused that. All of a sudden, that anger that was building up, that I think was demonically stirred, it was just gone. But that, again, is that boldness, that power to witness. I needed that. It was a supernatural thing. It wasn't me. It was the Lord. You know, and I'm just saying to you, there's times. Now, please understand, there's times that people are filled with the Spirit, like Stephen was. You know, they confront and they get killed. You know, I think about the people in Afghanistan. I think about the believers that are there. And if it's their time to go, it's their time to go. But we need to pray for them. Please let them understand what I'm saying. But the Holy Spirit needs to fill them and give them power, because it's a very terrifying situation apart from Him. But the Lord gives us peace, a peace that does not understand, or it passes understanding. It's just bizarre. Not as the world gives. And that's what you and I need. We need this anointing of the Spirit to be able to witness, to be. If the Holy Spirit wants us to confront or say something or it's demonic. And I've said before, as we looked at the book of Romans, that as the Lord steps back from holding back things, it gets worse and worse. And these spirits are being stirred up. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, the Bible says. And more, we need this anointing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do this. We can't. We have to have Him come. And that's why you need, and I need, the filling and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon me and to empower me, because we're facing dangerous times and difficult times, and it more than likely is going to get worse. And we're not trying to work up courage. Our help comes from the Lord. Our boldness comes from the Holy Spirit. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, so that we have this soundness to what we're doing. We're not panicking. We're not crazy. We're not freezing up. We have a sound mind because the Holy Spirit's taking over. That's what we need in these days. Now, let me just close with this. How then do we get baptized in the Spirit? I'm going to share this. And next week, we're going to get into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But let me say, first of all, regarding this, how do we baptize the Spirit? First of all, we need to recognize that God's promised this gift to every person. Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I love this verse, and Peter was speaking, of course, as they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, these guys looked out, and they heard them speak with tongues and in different languages and stuff. And they said to Peter, what does this mean? And they said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And he quoted from Joel, the second chapter. But he started talking about Jesus and this gift of the Holy Spirit. And then in verses 38 and 39, Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then he says in verse 39, and when he says the gift of the Holy Spirit, I believe because of the context of the chapter is they were speaking in tongues, the Spirit had anointed them. He said, the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So this gift of the Holy Spirit is a promise. What did Jesus say to the disciples? Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from hence. There's a promise. God gave a promise. I have a right as a Christian to go before God the Father and receive everything he has for me. I don't want to leave anything on the table that God has available for me. Some people have said over the years, well, if he wants me to have it, I'll have it. I got a problem with that. I don't see that in Scripture. In Scripture, I see earnestly desire the best gifts. In the Bible, we see Jesus saying, wait and pray until you're anointed. And so they prayed. They prayed for the Lord to come. They prayed for the Holy Spirit to anoint him. They prayed for the power of God to come. And then he did. They prayed for a while. And so I've got a right to this. I've got a need for this. I tell the Lord, I can't do this. The Bible says no man goes to warfare at his own expense. And so if God's going to send us out here and fight this battle, he's got to equip us to do it. So I have a right as a Christian to receive everything that I need to accomplish God's work in my life, right? God's given us these promises. So he sent us out in the battle, but he equips us. He tells me to put on the whole armor of God. I tell him, this is your armor. Give it to me. Provide it for me. I can't do this, you know. Okay, can you imagine going to warfare and I say, buy your own guns, buy your own tank? No, we provide the material. So the same way God does. So I have this promise, and that promise is from God the Father to me, that this promise, and Peter said that, the promise is to you, to your children, to as many as are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Well, that's me. And so when I went to the Lord, I said, Lord, you promised. I'm only coming because you told me you would. And there's another verse in Luke chapter 11. If you'll turn, let me turn there real quick. Luke chapter 11, because it's very important in the context. This passage is referred to in Matthew's gospel, but in Luke's gospel, it ends a little differently. And the ending of it is very important for what our study is this evening. In Luke chapter 11, look in verse 2. Chapter 11, verse 2, Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, remember the Lord's Prayer. And then look in verse 5. He says, which of you shall have a friend? He's talking about prayer now. I want you to notice that. He's talking about prayer. Which of you that has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me in his journey, and I have nothing to give him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is shut. Me and my children are in the bed. I can't get up and give you. I say, though he will not rise and give him because of he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as much as he needs. No, it's not because he's his friend, but, I got to sleep, So finally he says, I'll get up because you keep banging on the door. But that's the example he gives. That's the parable. So in verse 9, so I say to you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. These verbs are in the present continuous tense. Meaning whoever keeps on knocking, keeps on asking, keeps on seeking. It's not a one-time ask, seek. It is keeping on, keeping on. That's what he means. That's the example in the parable. That's what the Greek verb tense means. Then he says in verse 11, if a son asks for bread for a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who's in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, I want you to consider, if you know the Bible, there's no place in the Bible where someone comes to the Lord in salvation that I know of and they ask for the Holy Spirit. What they do is say, Lord, save me. I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, forgive me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. But when people ask for the Holy Spirit, it is in this seeking of and asking for the anointing. They ask for the Holy Spirit to anoint them. That's why Paul said, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? And so why haven't you asked for this? Why haven't you gone? Again, that's what Peter said. You have a promise. The promise is from the Father to you. The promise is to you and to your children. You have a right for this. You have a promise from the Father. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty through God. So I have a right to go to the Father and say, I need help here. I need the Holy Spirit's anointing. And so the whole passage in this 11th chapter of Luke is one of consistent, persistent prayer. From our Father all the way down through the examples and ask, seek, and knock, it is consistently seeking. And then he says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I love that because he's obviously, in my opinion, referring to this prayer that the Holy Spirit would anoint you. And what he's saying is you need to pray for this anointing and kill your anointed. Well, how do I know I'm anointed? Well, wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Wait until he does something. Wait until he gives you a gift. Wait until when you speak in tongues or you prophesy or wait until whatever. But you need to make sure that you know that you're anointed by the Holy Spirit. I know in my life, when he came, I literally felt the Holy Spirit on my neck. I mean, I literally felt a warm, you know. And here's the deal. Well, what if the devil gets in there? I mean, that Jesus said, if you being evil know how to get, how much more your Father in heaven give good gifts? That's what he says in Matthew. But here with the Holy Spirit, you know, if you ask for a stone, he's not going to give you, or rather a loaf of bread, he's not going to give you a stone. Here's my point. We can trust him. We don't have to be afraid. What if I ask and a demon comes in? I mean, I've seen people say that. I mean, come on. That's like saying, what if I get on my knees and pray and a demon comes out of the wall and grabs me and yanks me into hell? I mean, come on. I mean, why do you have this kind of fear? Do you fear God? Are you afraid that God the Father is going to do something? Let me say this too. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. I've heard people over the years, the charismania movement, I think charismatic mania, where they're, you know, they're getting off in the flesh. And there's a lot of flesh, okay? You know, and people talk about losing control. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's never going to cause me to lose control. Matter of fact, that verse in Ephesians chapter 5, do not be drunk with wine, where is excess? What happens when you're drunk? You lose control. You don't think straight. You're not in your right mind. But rather, instead of being drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. It's the opposite. It is a sound mind. My point is, when you ask the Holy Spirit to come, he's not going to do some weird stuff. I mean, you might speak in tongues. That may be weird. But it's biblical. He may give you a word of knowledge. He may give you a prophecy. When I was praying with that group, the gifts that I saw manifested were tongues and prophecy. It was just an amazing outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the effect on the school was enormous. Because the Lord gave power to be witnesses. Now, granted, there were some, few, their focus was a gift. They thought somehow they were really spiritual and mature. Come on. You know, it takes more of the Holy Spirit to control your temper than it does to speak in tongues. It does. So my point in all that is we need this gift. We need to ask and realize it's a promise. God gave us a promise. Secondly, we ask in faith. Oops. Ask in faith. That's what it says in Luke 11:13. I come to the Father expecting him to fill me with the Spirit. Now let me say this. If you were raised in a church or a denomination that taught the gifts are no longer available, the problem comes sometimes where you have this in your back of your mind. We have to come in faith. Everything we receive from the Lord, is by faith. I receive Jesus by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we come by faith. We receive by faith. And sometimes the idea of waiting on the Lord and praying and seeking the Lord is so that our faith will be strengthened. Maybe I'm struggling. I'll never forget one time praying with this guy to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was really having a hard time. And we were praying for about an hour and a half, and it was like a lot of work. We were praying, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, come. And what happened was we were actually in a youth retreat. We were asked at the college, some of us students were asked to do a youth retreat at a church in South Georgia. So we went to this youth retreat in the summer. And so some of the guys went, and we were there. The guys were staying at a person's house, and this guy said, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we were praying for him, and we were praying a long time, and nothing was happening. And I'll never forget, we were sitting there, we were getting tired, worn out. I was like, well, maybe we ought to come back tomorrow. And we heard this car out front. It's a very rural area. We heard this car slam on the brakes and, you know, and we were waiting for the crash and never heard it. And all of a sudden, he starts speaking in tongues. And I think my personal evaluation of that is he was so focused on what do I say? How do I do this? How's it going to, his mind was in the way. He got, stop, you know. I'm not saying you empty your mind. I'm not saying that at all. We're not talking about occultic stuff here. But we need to come by faith and say, Holy Spirit, here I am. And all of a sudden, when he was not so focused on, I don't know what to do, and just letting the Lord work, the Holy Spirit came and filled him. And he's still serving the Lord, still following the Lord. He actually has, he's got a I saw about 6 months ago. It's about 8 months ago. I finally canceled my Facebook page. I canceled it years ago, and then I brought it up, and I canceled it after. I just don't like it. Anyway, he was having a Bible study on this Facebook page. It was really cool. But my point is, we need this anointing of the Spirit. We need to realize it's a promise. I have a right to it. Now, here's the deal. If you don't want to be an effective witness, okay. But I believe that you do. I think you want to be an effective witness for Christ. I think you need this power, and you need this anointing, this unction of the Lord for God to do things. And God wants to work in our lives. God wants to empower us. And the whole focus is not the gifts. The whole focus is I need this power to be a witness. And so if you look in the Bible, everywhere they went, even when Paul confronted that Elymas the sorcerer, the Bible says when the deputy saw the power of the Lord, he gave his life to the Lord. He was being a witness. When Peter and John confronted the Sanhedrin, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took note of them. That they've been with Jesus. They were being a witness. And that's all we want. We just want to be a strong witness. Remember, the promise is given to you. Let me ask you again in closing, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And then why not? Maybe you've not been taught this. There was a question asked last week about why isn't this mentioned a lot, the Holy Spirit? I think Juan said something about the Holy Spirit came to reveal Jesus. But I think sometimes in churches they ignore that. They don't talk about the Holy Spirit. Well, to me, he's the executor of the Trinity. He's the one who does the work. Of course, his goal is to present Christ, reveal Christ to us. Let's pray. Father, this evening as we close our study, thank you again for your word. Thank you for this promise that you've given us. Lord, if there was ever a day, ever a time we needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's today. We need the power of God to come upon us because there are things happening that are way beyond us. We are in situations and heading into situations that are beyond our ability. And I think that's part of it. That's the whole idea. But I also believe when the Holy Spirit anoints us, there's no situation too hard for him. There's no problem. There's no danger that he's afraid of. And we need that anointing that gives us power, that gives us confidence, that gives us a holy boldness that is really, truly supernatural. In the face of persecution, in the face of danger, we're able to bear witness. And we look at the scriptures, we look at the book of Acts, we see in times of danger with Peter and John, or when Paul was there, or Stephen, we see the Holy Spirit coming and giving them supernatural anointing to be able to stand in the face of danger and to be a witness, not to cower down in fear or to run and hide. And so we all need that. We all need that because we are afraid. We have a tendency to fear. That's why you tell us over and over and over, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. I pray for those that may have already been baptized in the Spirit. I'm reminded again, as we'll look later on, at what Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God, which was in you by the putting on of the hands of the leadership. Because God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sense of the Holy Spirit. Stir it up. Stir the gift up. And there's times that we can neglect the gift. As the Bible says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. And so if the Holy Spirit's been given, if the Holy Spirit's anointed us, for those in this room or listening online, we pray that we would stir that gift up, that we would give time for the Spirit, that when we go out sharing and witnessing, we would look to him and rely upon him and be available for him and say, Holy Spirit, fill me, anoint me, empower me. It may have been a long time since we've prayed that prayer, but I pray it would be a daily weekly prayer that every one of us, Lord, fill me. I cannot do this. I need power. I need grace. I need the Holy Spirit to take over so that I can be an effective witness. And when we are witnessing, when we are sharing, it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit that comes. But I pray for those in here tonight that have maybe never heard this or never been anointed and baptized in the Holy Spirit. It, by and large, follows conversion. And I want to pray tonight for anybody here. I pray that what I've shared would stir up a hunger, a thirst, a realization that there's a promise that God's given me of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, taste and see the Lord is good. No good thing will he withhold from those whose heart is perfect towards him. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. You give good gifts to those who come to you. You won't give us a stone. You won't give us a serpent. You'll give the Holy Spirit to those who ask, but you require that we ask. And in the context of that 11th chapter of Luke, sometimes we need to get on our knees and ask for a long time until he comes. The disciples waited a number of days. I think it was a 10-day period, if I'm not mistaken, until the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover had fully come. And all of a sudden, here comes the Holy Spirit, anoints them. And these individuals, like Peter, who had run, who had denied Christ, all of a sudden, he's standing up, confronting this crowd, many of whom were there crying, crucify him to Jesus. He's confronting them, and he said to them, you have crucified the Messiah. The only explanation for that is the Holy Spirit gave him holy boldness to be a witness and testify. And the Bible says when they heard these things, they were pricked in the heart. Simply mean the Holy Spirit did his job. What is his job? To convict. They were convicted. They were pricked in their heart. And they said to Peter and John, men and brethren, what shall we do? The Holy Spirit had come and turned this religious, Jewish religious mob into people crying out, what do we do? And Peter said, repent, accept Jesus, be baptized in the name of Christ, and you'll receive this promise. So repent of your sins, put your faith in Christ, get baptized, but the promise is available. And they did. So I want to pray tonight for everyone here that everyone that's not baptized will begin to ask the Lord to fill them. Those that are baptized would say to other people that may be here that they know, look, I'm available. I can pray. You don't anoint certain people. Everybody that's baptized in the Spirit can have the gift available. You're no respecter of persons. So I pray that we would be able to do that. So I lift that up to you, Lord, and ask your blessing upon it. I pray that many from this room would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we could even have a time down the road when we could have people come up and sharing what God did, how God filled them and anointed them. In Jesus' name. And Lord, let's just close with this. We do need to pray for Afghanistan. And so I want to move away from this baptism of the Spirit just quickly. But I'd like to focus on us as a group praying for the people, for the individuals, the believers especially, but Americans and those that have helped the U.S., those that are trapped, those that are trying to get out. It's a desperate situation. The children, a lot of people are in grave danger. And it sounds like to me the numbers are staggering. And remember, we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. So let's just have a time real quick for two or three, four minutes, and then I'll close this. But I'd like to, everybody's heads bowed, everybody's eyes closed. Let's just pray out loud. Please make your prayer very short because we don't have time for someone to pray for 3 or 4 minutes because then it's about over with. But let's pray for a minute or two and then I'll close this.